Hi, this is Jo Martin and welcome to your Soft Powercast, where you'll discover one of many ideas for leading a more fruitful and fulfilling life. And today we're talking about trigger tracking. If you're someone who finds yourself flying off the handle for no reason at times and getting yourself into a state where you know you're not your best self and it feels like it happens for no reason, it's time to slow it down and work out what's actually happening. What's happening that causes us to go into this state that is not our best self? It might be an angry self. It might be a bully self, a bitchy self. It might be a victim self. It might be the martyr who tries to do everything for everyone. If you find yourself going into these disempowering archetypes, then it's time for us to slow down and have a look at what's contributing. We're going to introduce you to a great exercise in today's session called trigger tracking. Let me start today by sharing a story with you. At a recent business strategy session with my husband, Greg, who is my business partner, and our general manager, Lynn, I was triggered big time. And it caused me to unstitch something which has been a problem actually in our relationship for quite some time. Let me explain. We were discussing our plans for the year ahead and the quarter ahead. And at one point, Greg quite benignly said, "We need to get better at implementation." He said, "We're good at strategy, we're great at ideas, but when it comes to implementation, we need to get better." And for some reason, I just fired up. I went into the disempowering archetype of the victim. I got defensive. I started, you know, defending what I'd done. Questioning why? Why are you saying we don't implement well? You know, we've implemented lots of things really well, but you know, my tone of voice, everything about me was being the victim who was trying to, defend herself against this attack. Now, interestingly enough, Greg had never attacked me at all. He'd just said we need to get better at implementation, which in the cool light of day, he's actually quite right about on many fronts. However, what had caused me to go into the victim archetype and get defensive? It's what we call a trigger. There was something about what Greg said, perhaps the look in his eyes, perhaps the way he said it, which triggered me. And as I slowed it down in the meeting, I said, "Hang on a second, I've just got triggered. Let's just slow down and see what happened here. You said we need to get better at implementation." And I ran "we need to" through my filters of not being good enough, because I've got a constant imposter syndrome, I'm not good enough thing going on, and translated that into, "Joe, you're no good at implementation." So in his use of the collective pronoun "we," I heard "you," which is not at all what he said. Really important to point out. But because of my patterning and my upbringing, that's a trigger for me. And as I look back over my relationship with Greg, he tends to use the collective pronoun "we" a lot because he is a very collaborative kind of guy. He does see that it's a team effort. It's not any one person's responsibility or one person's fault. We need to do lots of things inside business, as a family. He uses "we" a lot. Now, I can't remember, and it doesn't really matter why I take such offense at "we," but I slowed it down and realized what was happening was I was taking "we need" to mean "you need and you're not doing a good enough job." And that caused me to go into the victim archetype. That caused me to get defensive and to go into behaviors that I'm really not proud of. So what this particular story demonstrates is an example of what happens to us all the time. Here, inside of one of many, we often talk about the women's power types. So we have five power types which we try to be in most of the time. You know, there are other great power types as well, but these are the five that we focus on inside of our teachings. There's the warrioress, the lover, the mother, the queen, and the sorceress. There's also hundreds of disempowering archetypes, but the most common ones that I find myself and most of my clients ending up in that are not serving them are this kind of triad that often comes out of stress and stressful situations of either the bitch, you know, when you get aggressive and mean towards somebody and like kind of bitchy, the martyr, The martyr is the one who, you know, the self-sacrificing, will do whatever it takes to be the one who sacrifices the most at her own cost of her own well-being oftentimes. Or the victim, the one who, you know, is totally at effect of everything that's happening to them in life and is defeated and can't do anything about it. So we tend to look at those three archetypes. I call them the cousins or the sisters of Superwoman. And you've heard me no doubt talk about Superwoman because she is the archetype that kind of triggers us into many of these things. When we spend too long in our Superwoman, tearing around the world, trying to save the day, do everything, we're running on adrenaline, we diminish our energy resources, which make those other three disempowering archetypes of the bitch, the victim, and the martyr easy to fall into. But those three are tough to get out of. So trigger tracking is a really great exercise to do over the course of about a week, perhaps, to start to slow life down and notice what causes you to shift from a powerful, joyful, happy, playful, you know, passionate, positive state, any of those yummy states, into a less positive state. So signal the great exercise of trigger tracking. In order to do trigger tracking, you're going to need a little template to fill in. Now, your coach may have given you one. If not, it's really easy to create your own. What you need to do is grab a piece of paper and divide it into six columns. At the top of the first column, I want you to write what happened. At the top of the second column, I want you to write what was your bad behavior. At the top of the third column, I want you to write what archetype did you go into. At the top of the fourth column, what was the trigger? At the top of the fifth column, how did you feel? And at the top of the sixth, what was the impact on others? This is going to help you to slow these triggers down and understand what occurred and why. So let's go through each of these columns in a bit more detail using perhaps an example. So let me use an example from one of our retreats. I remember working with one of our Lead the Change ladies at one of our leadership days. I think it was the Be Fulfilled Leadership Day, actually. And we were doing the exercise of trigger tracking. So we were asking, our first question was, you know, what's the most common disempowering archetype that you go into? And for her, she identified that she goes into bitch when she's stressed. So I said, okay, what we're going to do is try and identify what the trigger is that causes you, or what triggers, because sometimes there's more than one, what triggers you to go into stress. I beg your pardon, what triggers you to go into the bitch archetype? So my first question, the first column was, what happened? So think of the last time that you went into the archetype that you don't like and what actually occurred. What was the situation? What happened? So she identified a time where she had had a big fight with her husband. She didn't even remember what it was about anymore, but she was definitely in bitch and being really horrible to him. So she wrote down Tuesday night, got into a big fight with my husband. And in the next column, I said, well, what was your bad behavior? And she said, I was accusatory and mean. So I said, great, write that down. I was accusatory and mean. In the third column is where you write what archetype you went into. So in this case, of course, she'd already identified it was the bitch. So she wrote down the bitch in that third column. The fourth column is a really important question. I asked her, what was the trigger for you to go into that archetype? What occurred? Like, so rewind the movie a little bit to the time where you were doing just great, and then what happened? And she said, okay, there was looming deadlines. She said, I had looming deadlines coming up, and someone had just reminded me about them. You know, for some reason, I don't know if it was a text. I can't remember the detail, whether it was a text or she'd noticed an email. But someone had just reminded her about a looming deadline. That looming deadline was the trigger. The reminder of the looming deadline was the trigger that caused her the whole thing to cascade. So then I asked her, and this is what's in the fifth column, how did that make you feel? So the looming deadline and being reminded about it, how did it make you feel? And she said, I felt stressed. And I said, well, tell me more about that stress. She said, well, I felt like I was failing. I wasn't going to get it done. and I felt that there was a risk of failure. So she wrote that down then in column 5. And then I said, what was the impact of you going into the bitch archetype on others? And she said, well, it was awful because my husband responded, you know, angrily, defensively and angrily. My kids got stressed about it and it really worked out very badly. You know, it was an awful, awful situation. So by going through that process, she was able to identify what the disempowering archetype was she'd been in. She was able to identify the impact that that had had on others and therefore the cost that it had to herself, her own well-being and her family. But importantly, she was able to slow it all down and take it back to the trigger, the last place she'd been feeling fine and what was the thing that occurred right before that. In my example, it was Greg using the language of "we need to," right? In her example, it was being reminded of a looming deadline. So this is a really great little exercise for you to do to start having a look at what causes you to trigger into these disempowering states. So what we recommend that you do is over the course of a week, at the end of each day, you go through any moments from the day where you got disempowered. You can do them at the time. If it's a particularly nasty one, you just want to go and catch it right at the time that it happens and you just fill it in on the sheet. Alternatively, at the end of the day, you can just review the day and ask yourself, are there any times I was bitchy today? Or are there any times I felt like a victim, like there was nothing I could do about it, that I was powerless? Or were there any times during the day where I was really being a martyr and doing more than I ought to have been doing? They're three biggies to look at. Any time that I was being superwoman, right, and doing far too much and tearing around like a headless chicken. So notice those and think for yourself, what were those times during the day, and start by writing down the what happens. You know, at 10 a.m. this morning, I ended up in a fight with my husband, or at 5 o'clock this afternoon, I shouted at the kids, or at 7 o'clock tonight, at 11 o'clock, I stayed up far too late pairing socks when I should have just gone to bed, right? Write down what happened, all of the what happens, and then work through each one for what was the bad behavior, like how did you respond, what archetype was it that you saw, what was the trigger for that archetype, and how were you feeling after the trigger. So what triggered it and what feelings did that trigger cause, and then what was the impact on others of you going into that state. So work that through. And at the end of the week, you'll probably notice some really profound patterns. What that will do is help get you back in the driver's seat. It's not to say that you're going to be able to avoid the triggers forever and a day. That's not going to be possible, right? But what you can do, like myself, so Greg is going to say, we need to do such and such, or we need this, or we need that. Always. It's just a common language pattern. But by me identifying it, disentangling it, slowing it down so I could appreciate how it was impacting me because of my own filters, my own I'm not good enough, my own being defensive because I was feeling like I was being criticized, which I wasn't, I can now be aware of it. And when he does it, I might feel the old feelings start to come that I'm being criticized, like, you know, I'm being threatened in some way. But then I go, hang on a minute. No, he just said we need to clean up the kitchen, right? That's all he said. It's not a problem. We do need to clean up the kitchen. All is well. I'm fine. And I can choose to be in my lover archetype, or I can choose to be in my queen archetype, or whatever this is the most appropriate at the time. Once you've done the exercise, as I say, it will not only give you awareness, but it might be appropriate to share it with your partner or any close work colleagues who are at the receiving end of your disempowered outbursts from time to time. Only do this if you feel confident you can do it without blaming them. The important thing to realize about trigger tracking is it puts the responsibility for your emotions firmly back on you. So what you don't want to do is go through your trigger tracking and then realize that the trigger is, okay, someone texts you about a looming deadline. And so you go back and you say, well, every time you text me about a looming deadline, I get bitchy and it's your fault, right? That's just being in the victim archetype. Don't do that. Instead, you could say to your spouse, look, I've noticed that when I have looming deadlines, my old patterns of feeling like a failure start to come up, and I tend to go into the bitch archetype. Can you call me on it when it happens and just say, hey, you know, Mrs. Bossy Pants, so, you know, how about we try some lover, or how about we chill out, or I know you've got a looming deadline, why don't you just go take care of it? Yeah. If you work on it in collaboration for ways that if a trigger comes up that you can be supported to work through and into a more powerful place, then that can be a really great conversation, especially if someone who loves you very much is often the person at the receiving end of your difficulties. If you notice that you tend to go into martyr and overdo things, and if anyone asks you to do anything, you always say yes, then you might say to your spouse or to your sister or to your flatmate, if someone asks me to do something, remind me not to say yes for 24 hours, right? Or whatever it is, you can start to interrupt these triggers so that you have time to be able to stay in a powerful state. But getting support is a really powerful thing to do. Excellent. Oh, and the other fabulous thing, you know, in my situation is you know, when I shared with Greg, when he said we need to, then I go into a disempowered state. I was able to feed that back to him, and he's certainly not perfect at it. But what he has made a commitment to is to kind of distinguish if it's he needs to, then he's going to say I need to, or if it's Joe needs to, he's going to say you need to, or if it's the team, it's the team need to. So he's going to, you know, he's becoming conscious, because he doesn't want to trigger me if he can avoid it. It's a really hard one because it's such common language pattern, right? And so I've got to disengage my imposter syndrome, my not feeling good enough. That's the important piece. And of course, that's something we do with our limitation release process. But because he cares about me and he loves me and he doesn't want to add to my stress, he's consciously trying to avoid those language patterns which most trigger me. So that's another great reason that you can actually share what it is that you learn from your trigger tracking template. So, my darling, there you have it. A really great little tool can help you to slow down life and see why you're getting the results that you're getting. Go ahead and work with it this week, and I really look forward to hearing how it goes for you. Share what comes up in your circle or with your coach this week. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them in the B1 Global Community. Till then, stay in your women's power types. There's no need to get disempowered.